if I want to get to what a word is about, and it could be because, you know, when I was in high school, I didn't have to take Latin when I was in the seminary because I'd taken it in high school, a public school, and I was able to pass the proficiency exam when I went in. But when you get into Latin and Greek and stuff like that, you learn the roots of words. And if concepts come to us through history, we don't create the concepts necessarily. They've been there for a while, and they get to us through words. And if you learn what the root of the word is, you can learn what the concept of that is meant to be. The word prosperity comes from a Latin word spes, S-P-E-S. And literally, spes means to hope or expect. To hope or expect. So that's interesting, because I mean, when I think of prosperity, most people think of money. That's what most of us think of. We get our stuff. We get the stuff we want. It, you know, stacks up all nice and neat around us, and it removes all our anxiety, and so we feel okay because we got our stuff. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it. Uh-oh. Bev, do you remember the guy? You're about the only one here that would remember the guy. When I first got here, we called him the money man. Remember the money man who came and talked?
Oh, yes. He was a financial planner.
Yes.
From the spiritual...
from his science...
Science of mind.
He's wanting to be a science of mind practitioner.
He came regularly. Every couple of months we had him.
Because we were being nice because he's wanting to become a practitioner.
His prosperity was increasing your wealth.
That was it.
That was it.
You remember that. Yes, sir.
Oh, I just heard the root of wealth is wellness. Not money.
And prosperity doesn't have anything to do with money. It has to do with hope, expectation, belief. Okay? That's where these concepts come from. Okay? And honestly, I almost left. I've talked to you about that. This guy, because I was so offended that for him, spirituality, and it's okay. I mean, why would I be offended? That's his spirituality, and everybody has a right to it. And I was judging him, you know, that, well, how dare you reduce spirituality to money? But if that's your spirituality, that's the path you're on. And that's okay, you know. But I didn't like it. Well, as I look back at the roots, I didn't know that wealth came from wellness, but it makes sense. You know, well, prosperity comes from hope, expectation, a root of faith. But to put it simply, prosperity and hope are utterly intertwined concepts. After I get into all this stuff, I'm tempted to go with all kinds of theological fluff and fill your heads with things. But, you know, that doesn't get anybody anywhere because religion may be based in knowledge, in what you know and what you're taught, but spirituality is not based in knowledge. Spirituality is based in experience. Someone has a true religious experience, and they see and touch the face of the divine, and they're so inspired that people start following them, and unfortunately, then they want to try to condense that experience into knowledge and pass it on to other people, and then it flops. So if I'm going to talk about anything, I have to talk about my experience. All my life, if I want to tell you about my experience, all my life I've never known anything but prosperity. And that's fact, Jack. I have never once in my entire life ever once lacked for anything. And I'm not saying that's good and I'm not saying that's bad because it's neither. It has nothing to do with good or bad. It's simply a fact. Neither of my parents weren't rich. But they, you know, they got along just fine. We had what we needed. We had, you know, and a lot of what we wanted. There were times when I started, you know, kind of fancied owning things or having things that other people had, and it didn't materialize. But I didn't miss it. And the reason I didn't miss it is because I didn't need it. You know, I may have wanted it, but I didn't need it. And that's how I kind of started distinguishing between want and need. If I didn't really miss it, I didn't need it. There were times in my life, some extended periods in my life, when I lived in what other people would call abject poverty. And it wasn't abject poverty. And the reason it wasn't abject poverty is because I chose it. And if you chose it, then you don't experience the poverty, because then I could just unchoose it in any time and go back home, right? So that wasn't poverty. But, you know, I lived in Canada at one point, and we got snowed in, and, I mean, really snowed in. There was no way to get out. We were out in the middle of nowhere. And so there was no food. And that's kind of poverty when you don't have enough to eat. But it's not poverty when you got a pitchfork, and it's kind of gross, but I mean, hey, there was porcupines all over the place. And porcupines I learned up in Canada, they tell you don't kill a porcupine unless you need to. And the reason is because they're very easy to kill. You can just walk up to one with a pitchfork and kill it. And they say you don't do that unless you're really hungry, because you leave them for when you get snowed in and you're starved, and then they're all over the place. So we weren't hungry. We had porcupines. They're kind of awful to eat. They're really tough. But hey, you throw enough potatoes in there, it was okay. We had potatoes down in the basement. When I left Canada, I literally had one dime in my pocket. Someone gave it to me before I left, so if I ran into trouble, I could call them. That's when making a call was a dime. So that was quite a while ago. And I hitchhiked down into Mexico, and I spent a little over a year just hitchhiking all through Mexico. And if you want to live in wonderful, luxurious poverty, Mexico in the early 70s was it. The people were so wonderful. I remember this one time. So cool. I had my backpack, and, you know, as a kid, I was like early 20s, I had my backpack, and I was sitting on these church steps, and it was kind of hot, you know, I don't want to take my backpack off, and people were staring at me. They were just like glaring at me, like, and this kid, they don't have all the filters we do. So he kind of runs up and just looks me right in the face, and I said, "Why is everybody staring at me?" And he goes, "Is because we've never seen a white person sit there, a blonde-headed person, a güero means blonde-headed person sitting there." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Because that's where beggars sit." And I went, "Oh." I went, "Oh, well." I says, "Well, really, I'm kind of a beggar, you know, because, I mean, I was living off the kindness of other people. I had nothing." And so he says, "Oh, well, then you need a place to stay." And he grabs me and walks me through these streets, little narrow streets, and we get to this house, and I stay with these people that are just the sweetest people on earth. It was just a dirt floor. And I remember part of the house didn't have a roof. But that was okay, because it's never cold there. And they were warm, and they were friendly, and they were humorous, and they were just delightful people. And I went to sleep that night, got up the next morning. There was nobody in the house, but there were three men, or two men, no, two men, three children, and a woman. And the woman was the only one in the house when I got up. And she was just walking around, chipper and happy, la, 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 this is a beautiful day. opens up, says, well, you need to eat, opens up the refrigerator. It was a little apartment-sized refrigerator. And from where I was sitting, I could look in the refrigerator, and there was one donut in the refrigerator. And that was it. And she pulls the donut out, plops it on a little bitty plate in front of me. And I'm supposed to eat the only thing in the house that they had. How would you feel? I'm eating the only thing you have, and when I leave, you'll have nothing. And I feel awful. But I, you know, you don't tell people no. You don't refuse it. That's really rude. And I noticed, and it was at that moment, right then, and I'll never forget it as long as I live, that's where I learned the word prosperity. That's where I learned to me what it meant. Because this woman walked around the house happy as could be, lightly joyful, and plops this donut in front of me, knowing it's the last thing in the house. And there was no, oh, this is the last thing in the house moment. It was, and why? Why was there no concern? Because this woman lived in prosperity. She knew that whatever was needed would come. She was in that flow of knowing that they would never be without. And I could tell from the countenance, the behavior of the people the day before, they weren't worried. They weren't as if living in poverty. There was that flow of knowing that everything that was ever needed was going to occur at the moment that it was needed. To me, that is and always will be prosperity. As I look back at those times, I never once missed for a place to sleep. Never. Never missed food. I was living off the well-being of others. Sometimes it was wonderful food in a fancy house. A lot of times, it would be, If I went to a chicken place like a Kentucky Fried Chicken, they weren't allowed to give you food. But they would say, the workers, because they didn't have a lot of money, so they understood. So they would take some of the leftover food, the chicken, and they would put it in one of the boxes and wrap it up real nice and put it in the dumpster right back behind the building. And I'd go lift up the dumpster, and there would be my food sitting there on top, all just right. You know, great meal, you know. Never lacked for anything. I've covered all that stuff. Oh, my gosh. Hey, we're almost at the end of the talk. Hey, it's about time to go home. All right. I had the same experience in Bali. You know, if you've ever traveled in third world countries, you learn about prosperity. In Bali, all the people, whenever I went to any of these countries, I never set up where I was going to stay before I went. I would just land in the airplane, and then I would get out and I'd ask. The best people on earth to ask where to stay is a cab driver. And you go to him and say, I want to stay in a place that's not expensive, but it's decent, and they know them. And so they'd always take you someplace. And then I'd get out and I'd find out where in the country to go the next morning by walking around. And I'd find the coolest spots. And when I went to Bali, that's how I found Chandidasa, which is a little teeny town right on the coast. And I am not making this up. Now, this was in the 80s, late 80s. And I stayed in a cabana on the beach, right on the beach, that had a little shower that kind of came down onto this concrete floor. And with breakfast, it cost me less than $2 a day. And so that's where I stayed. And the people of the little town, I'd go talking to them, and they get to know me. So they'd come down to the little cabana and talk, and you know. And I got to go know the guy that ran them, and he was really nice. And when some people would come and have me, he said, I need to move you to another cabana because they need that one. So I bounced around from one cabana to another. And I loved it. That's the joy of the people that I talked to. They never knew what a weekend was. They hadn't. That was a word I had to try to explain because there was no concept of a weekend. You just worked and you got what you needed. And you did what you needed and there was a flow. To me, I learned prosperity is living within the call of the Spirit. Have you ever, do you believe that there, that you come to this earth with something to accomplish? Something to complete? Some don't, some do. That, and it may be simply to exist. It may be simply to move from one thing to another. To live in that moment. But I believe that there is something, that there is a movement to my existence. There's a purpose. I'm not just lost here meaninglessly. So if I walk and move within that purpose, I believe that I will receive everything that I could possibly need. And what would it mean if I'm not receiving what I need? What would it mean if things just aren't working? I'm resisting that flow. And if I am receiving everything that I need, then I'm within that flow. And if I think about it, if there is a divine that moves within me and through me, then why would the divine provide me everything I need in order to crash into a wall? If I'm moving in the wrong direction, where it will be painful and hurtful to me, if I move that way, then why would that Spirit of love provide everything I need in order to crash into that wall? Unless, you know, if I do crash into the wall, the love is still there, just saying, it's teaching me through the pain. But I believe that where God, have you ever heard that phrase, where God guides, He provides? It's an old fundamentalist kind of concept, but I do agree with it, that if I am being guided by the flow of the Spirit, everything I need will be provided. I came to Franklin 6 years ago with the full intention of being a drug and alcohol counselor, like I've been for 25 years. By golly, that's what I came. I worked my socks off to get my license to transfer from Oklahoma to North Carolina, which was incredibly difficult. But it did. And so I came out here and I found the perfect house, exactly what I wanted for the perfect price. And I was like, whoa, I'm in the flow. I'm in the flow. God's guiding me. He must want me to do this, right? So I sell my house. I leave my home and my family. I'm driving out here. I get to the border of North Carolina and Tennessee. I call the guy who's going to give me a job, and I say, okay, how's it coming? And I can tell from his voice, something's terribly wrong. And I go, tell me what's wrong. He says, I just got off the phone from the state of North Carolina. They canceled the program that you were coming here to run. And I'm like, oh, crap. I sold my home. I left my family and my friends. I bought a house out here, and I got no job. God's not, what about this prosperity? What about being in the flow? I'm crashing into a wall here, you know? So I thought, well, I got this house dirt cheap, and I renovate. So I thought, well, I'll just sit out here. I arrived on my 60th birthday on January 15th in the dead of winter, walked into a house that was trashed, dirt everywhere, and I had knew nobody, and I didn't have a job. And I was like, oh, this is awful. So I spent the next 3 months renovating that house and turned it into something I could sell that would be really pretty. And I started coming here. And I got to know the people here, and I thought, well, this is really neat. And then the next thing I know, the office manager left. And these people were like, you know, I had my first interview on Monday, and that Saturday I find out that she left. And Sunday I came to church, and they said, "Why don't you become the office manager?" I was like, "I'm a drug and alcohol counselor. I want my song. I got my license here and everything." And they said, no, you got to do it." And eventually, the light popped in. And I went, I didn't come here to be a drug and alcohol counselor. That's not what God was providing me for. Everything fell into perfect place in exact divine order. But then the door shut. And I'm like, I was completely confused. And then when it opened, I went, that's why God guided me here. It had nothing to do with drug and alcohol. I was duped. God fooled me. He tricked me. He pulled the rug out from under me just when, you know. No, that was prosperity. That was prosperity. That what I needed was given to me at the precise moment if I stayed within that flow. If I'm going to be in prosperity, well, the glitter, you know how glitter, oh, I need that, ooh, the sparkly stuff, you know, the kind of, ooh, you know. Well, I mean, if we don't get clear on the difference between what we need and what we want, we can run into a lot of trouble with that glittery kind of stuff. You know, like, what if I won the lottery? You see those people that win millions, right? Have you ever read the stories behind that afterwards? Yeah, it doesn't end well, does it? It doesn't end well. Because prosperity and wealth have nothing to do with one another. And all of a sudden all this massive money comes in and their lives turn upside down. And not in a good way. I have learned that what I want is to have what I need when I need it. And that's all. I mean, if somebody came, you know, I mean, what's a food you like?
So much.
Give me one of them. Come on.
Grass-fed buffalo.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, let's say you're going to live another 30 years, 40 years. Okay? So somebody comes up with six trucks full of grass-fed buffalo. Here you go. It's like, oh my God, what am I going to do with that? You know, it's you can't preserve it. You only can use what you can use, folks. I mean, that's it. And wanting more so you can stack it up someplace, it adds all kinds of confusion and difficulty and work in your life. It's not worth it. I look back at that woman in Mexico, and I'll never forget her, the way she walked on that dirt floor, freely and openly. That was prosperity. To know that everything would come as it's needed, at the moment that it's needed. And you can't make that happen. You can't make it happen. You can believe it. You can trust. You can hope, which is what the root of the word prosperity means. To hope and expect. And if I live in that trust, that hope, and that expectation, then I'm living in prosperity as far as I'm concerned. When I was in my 20s, I could live real well with a backpack, right? When I got to my 30s, I was a priest at that point, and I didn't want to get more than I could put in the back of my hatchback. Had a little Dodge Colt hatchback. Well, you know, I could cram everything in there. If it was a piece of furniture, I'd take it apart. You know, I could get it all in there. That was it. No more, right? Well, when I moved here 6 years ago, it took 16 feet in the back of a moving van. And I look at all that stuff, and, you know, if you go into my house, you see that it's all stuff on the walls, right? It's art, and this from Indonesia, and this stuff from Mexico, and this stuff from Central America, and it's things that are a memory of my lifetime, or stuff that came from my family. I still have my Christmas tree up. Still got my Christmas tree up. Why do I got my Christmas tree up? Because I like the decorations on it, because it's from way, way back. There's stuff that's before the glass, that's like a little drum and stuff, that they're not made out of glass, they're really old. And I remember from when I was a little bitty kid looking up at the Christmas tree from underneath, you know? And so it's memories. But that stuff is not the source of my hope and expectation. I don't want to put my trust in those things, because, you know, things come to pass. They don't last. If I ever question that, I'd look at myself in the mirror every so often. And, you know, these wrinkles are just getting deeper and deeper. I mean, folks, it's the truth. And, you know, and things just, I mean, teeth fall out. And this is coming to pass, you know. And some days it passes a little more quickly than others. But that's okay, because this is not where my hope, this is not my eternal life. Can I say something that annoys me? Okay, like the guy that came, the money guy. That I judge that, and I shouldn't, because that's his faith. I don't want to judge this, but it's not my faith. That you're here to live forever, and if you just take care of your body, you will. You know, take care of it. This is made to last forever. Death is an illusion, so just keep eating the right food, and you're going to live forever. I don't want that. I don't want to live here forever. I want my body to fall over and die. I want this thing to turn to dust, because I don't want to be stuck in here forever. Okay? I don't want to live on this planet forever, existing day after day. I want to kick the bucket, because I have other things to do. And the things I want to do, I can't do in this body. So there. That's my personal belief. I want to live healthy and able as long as I am meant to be here. But maybe I need to lay in a bed for a few years, and I don't know what I really need. But whatever it is, I hope that what I need is what I receive until my body falls over and turns back to dust. And then I will continue on prosperously, doing what I need to do, living in that spirit, in that movement, one day at a time. If I had put my trust in those, in things, and I look at this body as a thing, it's a living thing, and it's a wonderful thing, and I'm very grateful for it, and I want to take care of it, but it's a thing. And if I put my faith in those things, then I would be putting my faith in things that come to pass. And when they do pass, then if my faith was in those things, my faith would be undercut. I want my faith to be in those things, my hope and my prosperity to be in those things that do not come to pass. If I traveled in my 20s in a backpack, with a backpack, and in my 30s in what I could put in my hatchback, the ultimate thing that I could fear that I would lose is my physical life, my body. Ultimately, that's the one thing that would be frightening. I could lose everything else, but when I lose this, it's gone. I hope, I expect, and I trust that the next moment is always on the horizon. Whatever, wherever I am, and in whatever situation I'm in, life can only be lived one moment at a time. And when I reach the end of that road, when I no longer have the moving van, or the hatchback, or the backpack, and I've cashed all those in, and all that's left is my body, that when that thing comes to pass, that my trust and my hope in all the things, all that I have believed prosperity to mean, then I hope I will be able to give that last thing up too, knowing that that motion, that movement, that flow will always continue. And it has nothing to do with what I can see with my eyes or what I can touch with my fingers. There's been hiccups in the flow. And I've looked and said, oh my gosh, it's not happening. It's not happening. Whenever I get to that moment of fear, it's always because I got mixed up need and want. I've talked to so many people that will, they will say things like, but I deserve this. I remember a conversation I had with someone, but I deserve that. I'm good. I'm a part of God. I'm an aspect of God. I'm a spark of the divine. I deserve this. When we get into that, I finally said to one of them, but maybe you can't afford everything you deserve. And I remember the person responding back with, ouch. It's okay. What I deserve is what I need to be able to continue to do what I'm called to do, to move on with that flow. That's what I deserve. I deserve what is next. And if it ain't there, then either I didn't need it or it's not part of the flow. The Native American people, they have a little phrase. It says, this is a good day to die. Have you ever heard that before?
Sure.
Yeah, this is a good day to die. And I always was befuddled by that concept until it struck me that if I'm living in the flow, if I'm living in that moment where I reach out in expectation, in hope, for the next moment, knowing that it's going to come with everything that I could possibly need, then that's a good day to die. Because I'm willing to give up all those things that are not the source of my hope and my prosperity and move freely and expectantly into the future, regardless what it may be. If I can do that joyfully, then I believe that I have grasped and lived in the true meaning of what prosperity is. That's all I got to say.